Well, I clarified side-scroller, and still nothing.
Explain yourself.
Oh, I see.
Oh my god, that was so hard.
So hard not to laugh. I finally got you all wound up, and you got wound up.
I wish you were recording.
Well, I am, but that's never going to make good. It to air. Well, welcome to AE Doubleback, January 10th, 2024. Almost at 2023. Pulled myself back. And that theoretical marvelous win by Teresa will never hear the light of day.
Oh, so. Please. I hope so, because that was great. I worked really hard.
You can't hear
on
a light.
Says you. I mean, you've never... You've never been really, really drunk.
Huh?
Oh, boy. I remember one time or two.
We saw some wrestling.
Yeah.
We saw it. We heard it.
We started out with Claudio Castagnoli versus Hangman Page.
We were in Jacksonville, the homecoming.
Jesus. It felt kind of nice. I honestly wasn't expecting that, but like, yeah, it was just kind of cool to see, like, hey, the old stomping grounds.
What's too bad is that.
Oh, go ahead.
Also, I was gonna say it's too bad that like I think this is only something that happened during pay per views, maybe, or like however it is they time like everything, but like one of my favorite things was watching. Like them start in the daylight and like have the sunset during the broadcast, but if that didn't happen this time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Winter. But what's interesting is I have forgotten, and of course, I guess I never really compared it in my mind, but the Daily's place is really small. You know, like the walkway is so short, and I just never remembered how short it was. I remembered it being close to the ring, but
it seemed so much bigger when we were young.
Yeah, it yes. used to seem bigger, and I don't know if it's because they put in more seats. Obviously, like during the pandemic, there was nobody there, but like maybe they added seats. Because it's like a little bit smaller, so they wanted to really pack it. I don't remember. But it was cool, and I hope everybody got tickets that could go and had an awesome fucking time.
Yay!
And I hope they found their cars quickly afterwards, and that's nice to eat after.
Yeah, hope there's no one being a dick while you're trying to walk through the parking lot.
Hope you don't step in pee.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Step or in pee, human I shit. Guess.
Yeah.
Or human. You know what? I'm just going to say any shit.
Yeah.
No shit. I don't want you stepping in any fecal matter of any animal.
I don't want to step in dog shit, but I would rather step in dog shit than human shit. I don't know why.
I don't have a hierarchy for that sort of thing.
I do.
Because that is a wild thing to
I live in Los Angeles. This is a thing, okay?
I guess I'd rather step in human shit than come across someone shitting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's happened a few times for me. One time,
I feel like
it happens.
You have. It sounds like you multiple times, possibly even multiple times a day, have an experience where your next step will involve either stepping in dog shit or human shit. There is no other way around it. You're just absolutely surrounded by feces and have to make a choice and choose dog shit, I guess.
I performed in Hollywood
the classic trolley problem.
So I was
there all the time, and I'd have to be there for hours because I would have like shows kind of separated by a couple hours. So I'd be, you know, had to go grab something to eat and come back and whatever. So walking around in that place on Hollywood Boulevard, it's going to happen. But also just like kind of in my neighborhood now, I mean, it wasn't a thing in the past, but it is a thing now, for reasons that may or may not be obvious. And then just like, I think I was in Santa Monica once and I, whatever, it doesn't matter. I have specific stories I could bring up, but nobody wants to hear them. But I will say, I thought about it and I do have a decision to make on it. And the choice I have is that I'd much rather step in dog shit. I don't want to. I will avoid all shit as much as possible. I'd rather step in dog shit. And in fact, I would rather have horse or cow shit above dog shit even. Really? Yes. It's like all hay and crumbly. It's like disappears as you walk. Dog shit might stick more.
I'm not really sure how I'm going to arrange this conversation into the title of the episode, but be assured that your fascination with other dog, other animals' poop will make it on record.
If you have to think about it, if you've ever been on a farm
or out on a ranch, none of us have to. It is not necessary, even a little bit.
You might run into it.
We're just lucky that we don't live where it snows and it could snow over the poop and, mm-hmm. and you step in it by surprise.
Wow. One of the most relatable things Homer Simpson ever said was when it snowed suddenly in Springfield. And then he's like, do you know what this means, kids? I don't have to pick up the dog poops. And I was like, that was my feeling every winter as a kid because it was our, we had to pick up all the dog poops.
How? Okay. Well, first we'll wait for the Grand Prix to pass by whoever was involved in that, and then you can explain to me why you can just shit wherever you want if it's snowing.
No, it's a thing. When you live somewhere where it snows a lot, which I don't know if you ever have, but when it's like snows a lot, like inches and inches, right? The snow covers the ground overnight. And so if at least when I was growing up, when you have a yard and your dog's shitting in the yard, you either have to pick it up right away or you just let the dog out. They do their thing and they come back. And then at a later time, you scoop it. Later.
Then they've shit on fresh snow, and it's even more apparent that you're a filthy monster.
No, because it's snowing and it's covered up. So you never really see it. And in fact, you probably, if you're walking around, won't even scrunch on it because there's lots of snow.
So you sent your dog out into a blizzard?
If it's snowing, yes. You don't let your dog shit or piss in the house. So yes, you do, Jam. If you had a dog and it was snowing, you would just let them shit in your house?
No, I mean, here's the first thing is I would not have a dog.
Well, whatever. You can make that choice now as an adult, but you know. So anyways. You
were driven to it as a child.
I think it's a hilarious thing because everybody does that. When it's snowing, nobody has to go pick up the dog poops. It's awesome. You let the dog run out and do their thing. You know, your parents aren't yelling at you for it. But then the problem is then in spring, once that snow melts, there's all these poops everywhere. And you got to go pick them up and put them in a pile in the corner of the yard where magically tulips start to grow.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if my dog ate a pack of tulip seeds or what.
You know what? I'm just going to say maybe that is a universal experience. Maybe that is a thing that I just never had. So I shouldn't say that you're a weirdo.
Exactly. Especially because it's a joke on The Simpsons, which makes it like clearly some other person, at least one, if not many, because it made it through writer's room, mm-hmm. has had that same feeling.
Why don't everybody please write in and tell us if you're excited to let your dog shit in the snow?
Do you not pick up dog shit when it's snowing? Do you or do you not pick up dog shit when it's snowing? I'm going to guess the answer is if it's snowing, there's snow on the ground and it's snowing, the answer is you do not pick it up. If you happen to live in a place that used to be snowy and now is no longer snowy, you're forced to deal with the poops all winter. It's like all year round thing now.
I choose to believe that all of our listeners are cat people, so they never have to answer this bizarre question.
Well,
I
hope they're real, if you're a cat person,
real cat human hybrids.
You got to scoop poops all the time if you're a cat person. So,
yeah, but it's all in one place. It is where it's supposed to be.
I mean,
nobody have to go out and shit in sub-zero temperatures.
But you can argue that dogs are shitting in the place they're supposed to shit to. And it's all in one place in your yard.
It's just all every place that is not inside my house.
It's in the yard. It's supposed to be in the yard.
Well,
it's home. La-di-da.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations on being able to afford a yard.
Well, you know, people outside of cities do have yards.
Don't care for it. Don't care for the notion at all.
I want one just because, but I don't want to deal with one, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I don't want to do yard work, but I want to have a yard where I could put like plants, put bird feeders, set up a catio.
Catio.
Yeah, it's like these enclosed patios for cats.
Come on, Calder. So they don't get
killed by hawks or attack things or run away.
I love my cats, but I think it'd be pretty sweet if one of them got taken away by a hawk.
No, you would not. You would absolutely not like that.
I'd be like, holy shit, that was amazing.
Yeah, I think
like, I'm going to miss it. That cat, but.
Oh, that's terrible. No. Right, Ramona, we don't want that. No, we don't. And they wouldn't be able to because you're so heavy here, girl.
Claudio Castagnoli fought Hangman Adam Page at the beginning of this. We're still talking about wrestling, right?
We can.
If you want to, we can.
We can skip it. I'll just go to bed early.
Hangman versus Claudio. Now, you know, they're trying to build Hangman up to something, and I'll have something to say about it later, but I don't know. I mean, this was a good match. It was a great one to start with. I feel like, I don't remember when Claudio joined AEW, but has he ever been at Daly's place?
I don't think so.
I believe he came in like on the tail end because they mentioned that he had only ever been in Daly's place for that parking lot match.
Oh, okay.
Has he really been there that long?
Yeah, he's been there a minute. He's
been here at least a year or two or two,
yeah.
Three. Okay. Hey, good girl, Ramona. She's back in my lap.
Yeah, no, we knew that any expression of happiness during this podcast wouldn't be related to wrestling and or us. It was definitely cat related, so.
We should, by the way, have a podcast happy birthday to Calder.
Happy birthday, Calder! Happy birthday, Calder!
Thank you. I'm 41 years strong.
Hell yeah.
Send Calder those little McDonald's booklets.
Oh yeah.
You used to get, what and was it? It was like a free fries booklets. Or free Lifesavers booklets. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Butter Rum, baby. I've not seen Butter Rum Lifesavers.
No, because decades. Everybody who enjoys them is dead. That is an old person candy.
I am alive.
And they're all gone. Wow.
I'm alive, and I love them.
Make your own goddamn Butter Rum candy.
I wish I could. You know how much money I would make? There's
probably some kind of a YouTube video for that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Go to a store like Joanne Fabrics and get some candy flavorings. Maybe they have Butter Rum.
Why would you go to a fabric store for a candy flavor?
They carry all kinds of shit there because they have a whole cake section, decorating cakes. Section.
Oh. Yeah.
They have all kinds of stuff.
Oh. They have like human shit, dog shit.
Now we're trying to distract from the wrestling.
You're thinking of a joke store like Wims. In which case, they would have things that look like it.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. And I know because my brother bought all kinds of fake shit and barf from Wims growing up. All kinds.
Oh, the pastoral childhoods.
It was a good time, man.
Mm-hmm. I'd really like to keep the show going,
except
that I have no notes for this goddamn match. It was just like awesome.
Yeah, they just like good.
Beat the piss out of each other for like 20 minutes, and then
what do you think of Hangman's mustache? Huh?
He's got a mustache.
Haven't you noticed?
No, is it like super
squishy.
Light? Is it one of those like 14-year-old's mustaches that's just like a little?
No, it seems bushy. I mean, it's like kind of growing into his beard a bit, and I mean,
it's a wig.
Maybe
I completely missed it. Did you see it, Calder?
I did not notice. No,
I noticed it mostly when he came back later on in the show.
Okay, well,
it was more like a wait a minute.
Did you grow that backstage?
For a second, I was like, I didn't miss that, did I?
I think I've been hung up on Roderick Strong's mustache.
Oh, maybe he's doing it because he's like, why is everybody looking at his mustache? I can grow a mustache.
No, yeah, it was a bigger mustache, and it was like more,
refulgent.
Splendiferous. It's moving into the villain territory of mustache, you know what I mean?
Oh wow.
Like there's anyways.
I feel like there are two different lengths of a villain mustache, because there's the droopy kind, like the long thin kind, and then there's the short Hitler kind.
Yeah. Yeah, that one is like literally a finger's width length.
I believe we call that a Jordan now.
Why?
After Michael Jordan, famed basketball player, and
did he do that?
Weirdly Hitler mustache enthusiast.
Dude, what? He's covering up like a zit or something.
And that's your first thought. You know what I need?
If I could cover my face in that way sometimes,
then
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Okay, well, I think it would several heartbeats for me, and then I would probably skip the references to the Third Reich. It feels like if I had a choice,
I could cover my face to cover up blemishes, I would do it. And if I could just like do it spot by spot, and I'd have like little finger width whiskers all over my face.
Yeah, like, you know what? It's like my arm hurt. Maybe I could put like a little arm band around it.
I'd have
I don't
one
know.
Up on my cheek.
Maybe put a little like a
I'd
plus
have,
sign. Throw
I'd
some
have one on my chin, on my cheek. I'd have one on my forehead if I could.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's this how really we find out that Teresa writes for Stormfront now?
Oh, no.
You know what I'm talking about isn't what you're describing.
You're listening
to what I was saying, but you're not, because you're only listening to yourself.
I feel like, yeah, he's trying to get revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. have you been doing podcasts this long? You only just now realized that the only point of it is to hear yourself talk?
I love that I'm getting you riled up.
I am tired tonight, so I am not on point.
And, okay, then let's
easily falling into traps.
Okay, I will help. This is a good match. Hangman and Page wins. It was a good homecoming match. Thumbs up.
Yes, thumbs up.
Yep, same.
It was real rough and tumble. And great match between the two of them. Great way to start the night. Then it's followed by a Brody Lee tribute, which I appreciate. I gave it a thumbs up. But throughout the night, I started thinking, like, Look, I really like this guy. I do, and I did. But also, like, I don't know. I mean, is this always going to be – are we always going to do this?
You know what? It is kind of weird. And some of it is just because this is a new company, and they're establishing traditions. They're establishing legacy. And, you know, like, they're only 4 years in, so –
yeah.
You know, even though he wasn't there for that long, he sort of created something that people can look back on fondly, you know.
Yeah.
And because I agree, I sort of feel the same way. I was like, yeah, are we just going to have tributes every year for the rest of time?
Well, at the very least, it'll be over when everyone who directly knew him is gone.
Yikes.
Well, we can only hope.
Whoa. Anyways, I don't know if we're thumbing the tribute, but I gave it a thumbs up if we are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a thumbs up. Because, like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not going to thumb down death.
I mean, that's how they get you.
So then we have a match with Orange Cassidy, Preston Vance, Dustin Rhodes, Adam Copeland versus Brian Cage and Gates of Agony and Lance Archer. Now, this was very weird. And I was like, this is just, it was weird right away. And then they tried to make it about a tribute to Brody Lee. And I was like, but why?
Well, okay. because before the show, they did clarify all of this stuff. So if you didn't really know going in, it might have been a little weird, but there are 2 8-person tag matches.
Yes.
That are centered around people that were essentially Brody Lee's proteges.
Yes.
Preston Vance and Anna Jay. And so, yeah, those two were on the face teams versus heel teams. And it was just, the whole thing was just to be like, hey, remember Brody was a cool guy. And his person won. So, like,
it's just weird. The people chosen were weird. I know it's, you know, because it had something to do with Brody Lee, but it was still weird. And this was where I was like starting to feel like, okay, we did a tribute. Now this is just now kind of feeling bizarre because we're, it's been more than a year. And I get it. This company is young, but it just feels odd. It just feels odd. I don't know.
Yeah.
My feelings on the match was like, I don't even know who I'm supposed to root for.
Oh my God. It's all, well, okay. You know? I will say the one thing is that the announcers spent a whole lot of time like being like, this guy's a bad guy, but he's in with the good guys.
Yeah, and I'm like,
maybe
so
Tony
what?
Khan wants it. And I'm like, dude, nobody cares. We get it. It's yeah. Just a match. Like, you don't have to try and spin anything weird. This is just like a one-off. And then we'll go back to the story next week. But yeah, they harped on it for way too long.
Yeah,
they should have crafted some kind of like long Byzantine like hypnosis subplot that would take over everything.
And I don't know, it was weird. And I mean, we had Adam Copeland in there.
Yeah.
Like,
you get all of your popular fellas, all the people that people like, and you put them on the one side so that everybody can cheer.
But we didn't really, you know. I mean, it was such a motley crew on both sides, I felt. I mean, obviously, Brian Cage and Gates of Agony, they're, you know, they come together sometimes here and there, but like, I don't know. Just the whole thing was weird, but that's just me. I also was like, at one point, Jake the Snake helped Lance Archer out with something, and Lance was like yelling at him. I'm like, why are you yelling at him? He was helping you. The fuck?
I am not clear why he was there because Juice wasn't there. You know,
Juice is injured.
Oh, is that why he's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, never mind. I've noticed he's been gone for a couple of weeks, and I was like, oh, he must just be like, he's not in a match, so they're just not paying him to come out. And then I saw Jake, and I'm like, well, what is Jake doing there? He doesn't need to be there. Why are they paying him? But, well, I guess he's not injured.
So Tony Khan likes to, like, start these retirement projects. And so this is his way of donating to these retirement funds.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I respect that.
So Preston Vance wins. I middle this whole thing because it was like, it was fine, but I just don't like, I don't know. I just didn't like all this weirdness.
I liked it. It was fine. It didn't take up too much time, and it was, you know, like, hey, here's a nice feeling for everybody. There you go. Okay.
I middled it also. It just, like, I don't know, like something about the action felt like awkward or slow or something.
Yeah. Like everything about it was weird.
That's who my is thoughts. Kicking a can?
I don't know. I hear something going out, but possibly in my hallway.
The post-production will be able to get it.
Maybe it
could be.
It's the ghost of the podcast.
It could be. Mwah.
I wish we had a ghost on this podcast.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That didn't sound like fun.
Sounds awesome.
You wish for a tortured soul?
No, I didn't say tortured soul. I said a ghost.
That's,
with unfinished business.
Not ghosts are tortured souls.
If you're not chilling and relaxing in the afterlife, you're fucking tortured.
No, like, that's not true. If you had to go
to work, even on your day off, that sucks. And that's like times a million.
But a ghost on the podcast would be just like fucking around. They would be fucking around with us, messing shit up, you know, having a laugh. Also, my mom and I have promised each other that whoever dies first, it's going to be my mom probably, but who knows?
I would say statistically.
Statistically, but, you know, shit happens. We're going to.
Are you planning on getting in like a knife fight anytime soon?
No, but my brother died, so it's like I could, you know, shit happens.
So, I guess.
Anyways, so we promised each other that we would haunt each other because I was like, look, you just have to, okay? I'm not taking no for an answer. She's like, no. Well, you better haunt me. And I'm like, of course I would.
No, I'm sorry. Once I die, I am going to sleep. And I don't care if there's like an afterlife where like you get to play with puppies in heaven or whatever. I'm just like, cool. I'm going to take a nap. Wake me when the universe is done.
Yeah. I want to go to other planets and just poke around too. But first, I'll wait for when everyone in my family dies. And then I'll do that. Until then, I'm going to goof around with them.
You've got a plan. Good for you.
Yeah. This is the only plan I have in life.
Is your death, is what you're saying.
What I'll do. And this is all assuming that there is anything beyond the big sleep. Mm. All right.
Big Sleep's a good movie and a good book.
We've got Renee Paquette talking to Jay White and the Gunn Boys. They get interrupted by the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. Then they start talking about joining together against a common enemy, which is the United Kingdom, because that's what the Gunn Boys were saying.
That's what they're saying.
But it wasn't that. It was the something kingdom. Anyways.
Undisputed Kingdom.
Undisputed. It's still UK, so you know what I mean? It's like, anyway. But then they started saying, the claims are saying, we should be the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. And I was like, what? Oh, they're going to go with that for sure. They're testing audiences to see the reaction, but they're definitely
a soft launch, yeah.
See how much patience they have for this nonsense.
Yeah. The thing, I think that would be a lot of fun. However, I do not want to see Jay White on a funny team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Too good. It could be hilarious, but he seems like too good. But maybe it's something he wants to do. Maybe he wants to goof around for a while. I don't know. But
it's hard because I didn't think that Juice could be a serious wrestler. And then I was like, oh, okay, this thing he does kind of like works in a middle ground that lets him do both. So maybe if Jay gets to do that, we will see that he does have some facility there.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to see it. That's the other part.
I gave this whole bit a thumbs up, though.
I middled it because the whole idea of the Acclaimed and the Bang Bang Gang getting together, it's just too much for me. Just doesn't stick right.
I'm sorry, it stuck wrong. I thumbs it up. It was fun.
Yeah. All right. So then we've got Samoa Joe coming out in the ring to chant a thank you, Joe.
He's a heel, and people are chanting for him because he is so fucking good.
And Samoa Joe is basically telling everybody there's going to be a new way to challenge for the belt. And, I was like, boy, I miss the days when people said shit like this all the time. He's like, your ho-ass comments. I was like, man, nobody calls anybody a hoe anymore. And I'm not saying that that is a good thing or a bad thing, that calling somebody a hoe. But
it's,
like,
it's a bad it's thing. Just
funny.
So you know.
It's just funny. It's so funny. Just the term itself and how dumb. Because it's like travels, you know, like it goes so far away from the original point, what it maybe originally was. And it just becomes this like weird word. I don't know. I just think it's funny. Ho-ass comments. And then he said he's going to refer. You get referred to a championship committee and they'll decide when and where. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, you just like submit a claim and then it gets reviewed and then it's scheduled
like
a doctor's appointment.
Tony wants to get back to that thing where like wins and losses matter and you have to have a good record. I don't know if you heard any of this, but he got into a big tizzy on Twitter because he's Tony Khan, for God's sakes. And he was saying, like, people are complaining that Hook gets a title shot, even though, like, you know, he hasn't been on TV in a while. And, like, he does, you know, like, what has he done to earn a title shot? But Jinder Mahal has been losing, like, every match for a year. And then he instantly gets a title shot with Seth Rollins over on Raw. And he was like, what is that about? Which is just a terrible thing to get into. But yeah, like he may be wanting to like do more wins-loss stuff.
The thing that's funny is imagining Jinder Mahal getting like crazy over just out of spite because of the WWE fans wanting to get at AEW.
Yeah, I mean, look, funny. Hey, good on him if he does.
Yeah, any way you can get yourself over, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, man, it'd be great if they did do that though, just because it'd be fun for him to have that little bit of a run. All right, so then Swerve comes out. Duval. This was
Just the amount of presence of those two in the ring. It's just like, who do I love more? I can't decide.
And this was Swerve's first time at Daly's place. So I hope whoever was there got to have a good ass time dancing around. Hangman comes out. So after Swerve cuts this incredible promo against Mojo, then Hangman comes out. And I was like, oh, dude, just don't. Don't say a fucking word. But he starts saying some shit. Like, I'm going to give him said some shit to Swerve. Then he said some shit to Samojo. And I immediately was like, if they make Hangman champ again, I'm going to revolt. Boo, 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 boo. Swerve deserves it. And I hate it when people also, oh, this is something else. I hate it when people are a hair's breadth away from each other's faces. It's really gross.
What about kissing?
Then when their faces touch, ugh. And then Hook comes out at the very end.
Just a real quick sidebar that every time I watch Star Trek Next Generation now, I'm always creeped out by how close everybody is to each other. Because, like, the framing of television back in the day meant, like, to get two people on the screen, they kind of had to be kind of, like, close in a weird angle. Yeah. But if you look at it now on a normal, on a regular big screen TV, it's like, why? Why are you kissing? You're just talking. Stop. Get away from each other.
It's too much. Yeah, we got big TVs now. We can have wide shots all the time.
No, stop. Like, staying far away from each other from contagion.
Oh, that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then Hook comes out, and I was like, why? So now Hook has a match with Samojo next week.
Yes, he does.
And maybe it's because of Twitter. We don't know. I'm not calling X.
Last week, he did a thing where he was like, I, you know, like, only have like one loss or whatever like that. I'm coming for your title, Joe. Okay. Which is, yeah, I don't know yay or nay on that. Obviously, he shouldn't have the title. There are so many people that we got to get to give the title to. Samojo needs to keep it for 1 million years. Swerve needs to win it immediately and keep it for 1 million years at the same time. Let's give Daniels Danielson a run before he goes. Kenny should also have it because
Kenny should never lose it ever. Yeah.
Even though he's out with diverticulitis, Penta should also hold it forever. Penta needs to have it. Like,
Ray needs to have it.
Nothing against Hook, but there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Fuck it.
And Hook's young. He can last out those people.
Yes. Yeah. When they're all dead, he can have it.
Yeah.
I liked the construction of all this because there's actually surprisingly few words for the number of people on the screen, and they all mostly were just like, they could carry it. They're just like, I'm a badass standing here, and the other guy is like, I'm also a badass standing here, and you're like, I want to see these people fight. This is working for me. So, yeah.
I don't know. There's something about Hangman I'm just not into right now.
Yeah, I can see that. And when it starts out with Joe and Swerve, you're like, well, this is the pinnacle.
This and makes sense.
Paige is honestly a little step down. Although it feels to me like...
It's a side quest.
I feel like he's there to be like the third man... I guess I don't want to say necessarily a third wheel.
Like, who's going to win?
Yeah, kind of like, let's have a three-way. So it's like, oh, gosh. You know, and then if you need to have Samoa Joe win and Swerve lose, then like, Paige screwed him out of it. And if you need Swerve to win and Joe lose, oh, you know, Paige, you know, obviously they're both equally good as each other. So the Hook thing, I guess he's going to have a match next week. And he'll lose, and something will happen. Like, they probably have some sort of plan there that will make one or more of these people more interesting as a result. So, I guess, sure.
Let's just hope that it involves some kind of hypnosis plot.
I mean, there are not nearly enough hypnosis plots in wrestling these days.
Man, I would love it if there was something like that. That is like the dumbest, most fun thing. Why didn't Anna Jay do that?
That is a good question.
Right?
I mean, you got all those spooky people in the ring. She's a magician.
She should like have a backup where like she stuffed a clock in her bra. A watch. watch. She stuffed a pocket watch in her bra, so just like how, you know, MJF would hide his diamond ring. Just like
Flavor Flav?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. just like MJF used to hide his ring, she'd pull out the pocket watch and then just like, you're getting very sleepy. And then they're like hypnotized. And then she'd get them to do stuff like turn on their tag partner or fuck it. I don't know. Just some funny ass shit.
I say we just get Charles Wright to come back as Papa Shango and just go full nutso.
I mean, I'm very much into full nutso. And I very much miss nutso things that like the wingmen used to do.
Yeah.
Like when they would like attack on the side of the ring, they'd attack a guy by like spray tanning him and combing his hair and shit. Oh, god damn it. Miss that. Miss those days. Anyways, I thought this was all okay. I very much enjoyed the first part of it more than the last part of it, but all in all, I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Same. I liked all of it. Even the bits I didn't like, I liked.
Yeah.
Then we have Renee talking to Toni Storm and Mariah May. And
oh god,
like, have a chocolate.
Darling, I was sent a screener, but I did not watch it. I do a frame. Did you do an arm drag? this is so happy sad because like crazy over, super entertaining. Like, I love every minute of it, but also, like, are you getting yourself over as a wrestler? Are you getting other people over? Are you building a division on this? Like, no notes. It's so fun. I love it. But also, like, yeah, we need more women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not helping that cause.
Yeah, I wonder. It's like sometimes it's hard to enjoy this women's segments on their own for what they are, because you have to also think about, well, where are we going and what are we building towards? And is this, you know, going to go to what the fans want, which is a solid women's division with like tag belts and real storylines and fun emotional arcs and whatever. And maybe this is part of it. Maybe this is, you know, the whole thing with Kenny and Hangman, that was almost a full year, right?
Yeah.
It was a crazy long story arc. And so it could be something like that where they're like, we really want this to like turn into something big. And who knows? Maybe it'll take longer, maybe it won't. I don't know. It is very fun and entertaining, definitely, and people are enjoying this character, and I like how weird and flippant she's being and yet oddly nice at the same time. Like, Mariah May's a little butthurt, so she's like, have a chocolate, you know, I mean, and actually gives her a chocolate. I was like, well, that's good. She didn't just say it. She actually had one, so you could eat one. I don't know. And then they're talking about Deonna Purrazzo.
Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, Deonna. Because
it's called Donna Palazzo.
Donna Palazzo.
Which okay, is that's what it was.
So Naked Gun. I just lost it.
So, yeah, it was good. And we'll see. Maybe this new energy coming in will boost things, you know. I mean, who the fuck knows anymore? But I gave it a thumbs up.
I did too.
Yeah, yeah. How can you not?
So we got Sammy versus Ricky Starks. Okay, it was a good match, but my overall takeaway is fuck everybody, because Ricky Starks should have won. Why is he losing?
He's losing because they're having a tag match for the belts at Battle of the Belts this weekend. And because Bill and Starks aren't losing, they're giving the win to Sammy tonight.
Okay, well, okay. Let's hope that's true. In which case, I'm okay with this. Big Bill comes in at the end, you know, to fuck up Sammy, and then Jericho comes in and they're fighting through the crowd and they go through all of Daly's place. It's like old school pandemic AEW when you can just fight all over the fucking place. Throw each other down some stairs.
I'm pretty sure that was a real conscious decision to be like, let's find ways to just have like throwback feels.
I'm sure. And, well,
then,
you know,
where was Vanguard 1 then?
Yeah.
That's
hello.
A good question. And that is something that Tony Khan's going to have to answer for.
Where's that horse? Whose horse was that? I want to know. Was its name Sugar Bell? We don't know.
We'll never know.
We need to find out.
But I middled it because I was sad that Ricky Starks lost. Now that I know it could be for a better reason, I could have changed it, but I'm not gonna.
Wow.
I upped it because, you know, I have my issues with Sammy, but he's
good.
Always exciting in the ring, and Ricky's always great. And so, like,
it was a good match.
It was a good match, but the end, the stuff that came after was so sloppy. Like, they did a thing where, you know, Ricky and Sammy are shaking hands. And then I'm like, why are they still shaking hands? It feels like they've been shaking hands for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right. Like, Bill is either late or they started early, but, like, they have to wait for Bill to come in and smack him. And then, you know, Jericho comes out and bashes people with the bat and blah, blah, blah. And it just felt so... just tired and also like poorly done to the point where I was like, you know what, this whole thing, it drops from a thumbs up as a result.
There we go.
Oh, I still up it. I thought the main part of the match was a lot of fun.
Fair.
Okay. So then we have an 8 women tag, which again, weird. I'm not mad at it. But it was weird.
Were you mad at the sign that said, let Stoke manage you?
Oh, I loved that.
Pulled it down. And he was
like smiling. Like,
anything to get more Stokely Hathaway on my screen, I'm for it.
Thunder Rosa looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was honestly a little weird because there are a couple times when she was like in the corner and, you know, her back was to the camera and her blonde hair. I was like,
yeah,
who the hell is this?
Throws you off.
I don't need another blonde in AEW. Like I want brunette Thunder Rosa back.
I mean, I'm going to let her express herself however she feels, but you know, she can switch it up, especially if she's coming back. Like maybe she just wants to like explode on the scene.
Could be. And like her whole presentation feels more femme, which is not my favorite in wrestling. So like that's just like a personal, you know, thing. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Like if that's sounds personal. If that's what she wants to do, more power to her.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe she's tired of
being a fucking badass.
No, not that, because she's still a badass. But
she is.
Maybe she just wants to change it up for a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Also, her old music. I want her old music back. I want to scream Thunder Rosa whenever I see her. So.
No, and I don't. Again, I'm always saying people need to change their shit up more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe this is just her like change up right now, and I hope it goes well.
Same.
But, you know, we had Willow, we had Anna Jay, we had Ruby, we had Sky Blue, we had
Julia Hart,
you know.
Saraya,
and that new girl.
Harley Cameron.
That's it, Harley Cameron. God. Anyways.
It's like you weren't even paying attention to the QTV segments.
Oh, no, I wasn't ever paying attention to the QTV. In fact, they never mentioned her name in the QTV segments.
So they did eventually, but it was a long time later. And I had to find it out on Rampage. So
Yeah. Understandable
how you might have missed it.
Anyways, I thought this was fine. Anna Jay gets the win, of course.
Well, don't forget the giant suplex.
That was the one
where Julia got on the wrong side, and I was like, ah, shit. They got to switch back around so that Willow could get in.
That was funny.
That made me laugh.
I don't know. I was like, what's going on? And then even the announcer was like, what are they doing? What are they going? And I was like, is there something in the middle of the ring? Are they, like, discussing something? Like,
they're all looking for a coin. Hold on. Willow dropped her contact lens. Everybody, let's just try and get
like a huddle or something. Anyway, so yeah, that was neat. You know, just fun shit like this I definitely appreciate.
Yeah.
But it's weird, but they are always like this with women's matches. They always put a million people in there that don't belong together just to fucking have a match and get it over with so that we never have to see another woman on the screen for the rest of the night. You know what I mean? So it's like, as weird as it is for a women's match, it's not weird because they do this all the fucking time. So yeah. I was like, all right, whatever. And then you get a win from Anna Jay. She's wearing a Brody Lee shirt. And I was feeling still like, you know, look, I totally appreciate people's feelings for this man. And I definitely wish he was still around because I think he would have done incredible things with AEW. But it makes me sad, more sad than like appreciative. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's more upsetting than it is hopeful or, you know, touchy feely. You know, it doesn't make me feel good.
Fair.
Calder.
Well, I agree.
With who?
with what Teresa was saying.
It makes us sad.
Did you thumb this up or middle?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was an up.
Oh. I upped it.
Okay. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Okay. You upped it as well?
I did.
We got a Wheeler Yuta. Oops. Wheeler Yuta promo.
Wheeler Yuta. Oops.
I hit the mic and I know I'm gonna.
He went in his pants.
he did an oopsie. You to oops.
Oops, all horse poop.
Poops. You to oops poops. Anyways, he did a promo. I thought it was really good.
It was.
Regarding Eddie Kingston and what the shit he was saying. I thought it was good. I gave it a thumbs up.
Here's another guy who, like, yeah, comes across better on a tape promo. Put him in tape promos, goddammit.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was definitely better than live. I don't know, like, if I... I guess I up it.
Qualified up.
We got Roderick Strong versus Bounty Hunter Brian Keith.
I like this Brian Keith. He's,
I do too.
He's been around for a while, and I think he's shown up like once or twice on AEW.
Yeah, I think it was like last week or the week before.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think in the further back as well.
Oh, okay.
He just seems like a cool guy that I'd like to see more often.
We're gonna have a Bounty Hunter Hangman match.
Ooh,
I mean that makes sense to me.
Like a Tombstone and Street fight.
They should be a tag team.
Just the young Westerners.
Yeah, we need to
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, first thought, best thought.
We need to have the Hangman. We need to have the Bounty Hunter. And we need to have the Sheriff.
What about the Judge?
Well, we could have a Judge.
What about the Innkeeper?
But usually the Sheriff.
Sorry, Saloon Keeper.
We can have both.
Oh, we could do that too.
What about the Undertaker?
Mm.
That's too much.
I don't know. I feel like if you're in for a penny, you should be in for a pound.
But there already wouldn't that was be insane Undertaker.
If the Undertaker went all elite?
I mean, that.
Oh my goodness, that'd be wild.
Tony's like penchant for retirement plans. It would not surprise me. However, WWE would never let it happen.
And I'm pretty sure he's got a pretty good retirement plan over there. So
yeah, they have him signed in perpetuity throughout the universe, like even after death.
7 billion years after your death, just like mm-hmm. Scientologists.
Yeah. He will be serving WWE for the next 7 billion years. And after that, he can move up to management.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they can start assaulting women.
Yay.
That's why you get into WWE management, right?
I don't know. I know that's how some people get into Scientology. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was a good match. Yeah. I liked it. Roderick Strong is good. Brian Keith is good. I want to see more Brian Keith. And, you know, I didn't know Roderick Strong before all of this. I definitely prefer him as a wrestler than as a shouter.
He is. He's an exceptional wrestler.
Yeah.
He's mediocre on the mic.
Yeah. But Roderick Strong wins, and then Adam Cole comes into the ring, and he does a promo.
God bless him for finally being able to cut heel promos after all this time.
I mean, he's really good as a heel promo. The whole thing makes me sad, but I mean, I can't say he's bad. I can't say any of this is bad. None of this is bad.
Yep.
Except there are lots of Army commercials throughout this whole episode. I was like, God damn, they're really low on recruits, because every fucking commercial break is like an Army commercial.
Frankly, I don't feel a lot of confidence in the security of our nation if our armed forces are heavily composed of wrestling fans.
Yeah, I don't know. The few, the proud.
I mean, the idea is to get
sign makers,
the hyper aggressive ones, let's get them in there.
But anyways, I gave this whole bit a thumbs up.
Same.
Yes.
Okay, Renee is talking to Diana Perazza.
I'm sorry, Perazzo. Donna Palazzo? Enrique Palazzo?
I'm trying really hard to say it correctly. Because I wrote it down wrong, and now I wrote it down right. But in my head, I'm thinking Palazzo, but I know it's not right.
I honestly don't know if it's Perazzo or Parazzo or... Perazzo. Something, yeah.
It must be Perazzo.
Every time I've ever heard that it said on TV, it was Perazzo.
Perazzo?
Perazzo. Okay.
Perazzo. Oh my God. We're confusing each other.
Is this unusual?
No, it's not. But anyways, they're talking, and then Red Velvet shows up. Mm-hmm. And Red Velvet starts talking some shit. It was weird. Then I'm just like, so, you know, next week we're going to stir shit up or something like this. And Deanna's like, is that your catchphrase? She's like, uh-huh. She's like, okay. Oh, man. I hope whatever happens is something that ends up changing Red Velvet's character, including what stirred up, either what it means. So she stops, spooning a bowl, or the phrase entirely.
Everything you are saying is correct. Yeah, no notes.
At the very least, she did the stir it up, but she was not wearing the apron.
Yes, she wasn't. But she does the whole, spooning a bowl thing.
Yeah, I think it sounds good on paper, but in reality, oh man,
she is committed to it.
Like if you're gonna have a Red Velvet character, then you need to have a Muffin Man character, right? And then he's got to keep saying, "Yes, okay, follow me."
You have to have a
Muffin Man character, and then his phrase is, "Do you know the Muffin Man?"
Uh-huh.
And they stir shit up, and they are the bakery.
The and then bakery.
They have phrases like, you know, the Fahrenheit 400. They have the oven burn. They got the, I don't know.
I'm so mad at you right now that you didn't leap immediately to a super faction with the butcher and the blades. It'd be the butcher, the blade.
That's the deli. Look, that's the deli.
Uh-huh.
And they would be rivals with the bakery.
Right? Or, why would you be? You're in the same Ralph's, for God's sakes. Why would you be?
Or they're the whole, they're part of one section of a Jewel Osco. But then we got to have like the Checkers. I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? It would just be more fun if there was a Muffin Man and that was like a thing. And it would, they went like full bore on it, went so hard. They were like really mean and evil and like badass, but like also just like the dumbest shit, right? They'd say the dumbest shit, but like in a mean way. So it still sounds cool. You know what I mean?
Evil bakers. Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And you know, like they could be the kind of evil baker that won't make cakes for gay weddings.
Oh, well, that's a whole other gay. That's a whole other evil baker. But they could be good bakers, but just like really mean, right? They are good, but not like.
Good at baking, but evil.
No, I mean, like, they could be faces, but just like, you know, they don't smile. Right?
They're prettier when they smile.
They're just like badasses all the time. Because you kind of have to. Otherwise, like, if you take something like that, having anything to do with baking, right? And if you smile, no one can take you seriously. Even if you are a face, right? You got to, like, make it a mean thing somehow so that people are like, oh, shit. She's got an apron on, but she means business. She's got that apron on to keep her clothes safe from blood, not flour.
She's got a business apron on. You know? She's got a leather face apron because that's what he used it for.
But you know what I mean? You know what else would be really great? Speaking of aprons. You know those 80s costumes? You know those 80s costumes that were just like plastic masks with the aprons?
Yes.
That needs to be a team.
Oh my God.
I can't, like,
what?
Whatever.
How, like, how are you anthropomorphizing random shit now as a tag team?
Because I would love to see it. That's how I know. That's how I know it would be great if they did that. If they just, like, one person was like a G.I. Joe, one person was like a strawberry shortcake, or like something along these lines. Maybe it'd be great. Like, they just have their little eye holes cut out in a teeny tiny slit so you can breathe out your mouth. Oh, I mean, come on.
It's genius.
Yeah, right? Jesus, they need to pay me for these things. Especially Muffin Man. I think that would be great.
No. I went with you. I did not like where we went. We ended up.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
No.
He has a move called Buns of Steel where it's like a frog splash, but it's his butt.
That's pretty good.
So a senton bomb.
You know what I mean? There are so many things you can do with that. Get out of here. I'm fucking brilliant. Okay, I'm done. I middled the segment.
Wow.
I middled this segment. I'm looking forward to what Deonna Purrazzo brings. Yes. Like now that she's back, now that Thunder's back, possibly Mercedes Moné on the horizon, that feels like the beginnings of a division. So like I think we're headed in a good direction. Red Velvet,
Okay.
You know, whatever, man. Just like she'll get better on the mic, and she's good in the ring. So maybe just don't put her in this situation. Just have her wrestle.
And like, we still have Jamie Hayter somewhere. Yep. We still just have Britt Baker somewhere.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know exactly where Britt Baker is because I didn't know if she was injured or not.
I don't think she is, but no, I think because
she hasn't been on TV.
Yeah, and they don't really have anything for her. I think I saw something about she's pitching, bringing back that talk show segment she had, which it was fun.
Segment. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was called like The Waiting Room or something.
I remember doing something in like a doctor's office.
Yes.
No, not that. It was another thing.
Oh, I don't remember that. Anyway.
Also, I read that Queen Aminata is signed at some level. They weren't sure if she was full time or not.
Yeah, nice. She's gonna. I think it's like on Collision. She's got a match coming up.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Into it.
All right, so we have the final match of the night. We got Ric Flair coming out. We got Sting, Darby Allin. We got Takeshita. We've got Hobbs.
Hmm. What more could you want?
I mean, this is great. This is really great. There was, oh my God, Ric Flair hitting Hobbs. Laughable. But also just kind of, I'm glad he got to do something. But then when he was trying to get out of the ring, it looked like he was struggling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is frightening. Like, it's like seeing, well, whatever. You know what I mean. No one wants to see someone struggling getting in and out because it makes you worry for them. And,
yep.
You know, you don't want to feel that way.
One of many reasons why I do not want to see Ric Flair on my screen anymore.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy he's happy. Darby jumped from the second tier of the bleachers onto Takeshita. Fucking insane. This man is insane.
Yeah, he took a lot of punishment as per usual.
Was this the arena? Maybe not. I can't remember which, if it was Daly's Place or somewhere else, when Sting jumped off the second floor through like two tables or something like this.
It wasn't here, but yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was crazy.
Sting put Hobbs through a table tonight.
He did.
Kind of crazy.
Fun.
You know, obviously Sting and Darby win. I say obviously, but with Takeshita and Hobbs, it isn't necessarily obvious. It was a great – I really liked this match. Shivani gets in the ring afterwards, though, and asks Sting who is going to be his final opponent. And the Young Bucks come out, and they look very different, very cleaned up,
that very cool.
Simply dressed.
One in all white, one in all black.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, no earrings, no weird headbands, no crazy shit. You know, like, they were just... very simply dressed, very plain black and plain white. And I'm very excited for this.
Things that we don't know about, though.
Well, I'm sure. Their entire back is pierced.
Yeah, I mean, also the palms of their hands, which probably, you know, you think
in between their thumb and their index finger. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I think that'll be great. I think what a wonderful send-off. For Sting, because the Young Bucks always make everything look amazing. Also, like, as business partners as it would end up that it is, you know, as since they're like in leadership positions at the company, it's a neat thing to be able to do, to be able to like wrestle the last match and be able to declare yourselves as the ones to do it. That's neat. But yeah, it's going to be a great match with Darby Allin, Sting, and the Young Bucks. And I don't know what's going to happen to the Young Bucks. Because if they're not these crazy guys, What are they?
I mean, they're still these crazy guys.
Did they do the plain white and plain black because of Brody Lee and because of Sting?
I think just to like sort of mix it up, because sometimes they'll come out like wearing something fancy or whatever. So this is just, you know, this week's outfit.
I guess so. The Sting is black white makeup, and also Brody Lee wore white.
And also they painted black and white eyes on the tables before they smashed them.
That's right. They did. Yeah.
Poor Darby looks like he almost missed the coffin drop completely. Takesh just like grabbed him by one arm and tried to break his ball. That wasn't great.
That was not. Because like the things Darby does, if he misses, he might die.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He might actually die. Also, has he gone to Everest yet?
I don't think so.
No.
Did he not pass the physical?
I don't know if I think it's likely he's that like, he would or wouldn't.
I guess I have to wait till after March now. Being that Sting's retiring. Anyway. I gave the match a thumbs up.
Yes. Me too.
And I'm very excited to see the Young Bucks with Sting and Darby.
Yeah. This is an 88% show, which I think some of that is due to just fewer segments, but also not a lot of trash.
Yeah, it's no.
Good stuff.
Not a lot of filler.
And
doing pretty good so far this year.
Looking good for things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ramona's very excited.
Wow. I can tell. I can hear her excitement.
Mm-hmm. Her excitement and her deep snooze.
Ah, that's how cats express excitement. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, 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 ding-ding-ding.